Well, good morning. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we get into the Word of God, we started off in Joshua chapter 8 in verses 1 and 2 with a prediction. And that prediction was true from God's own mouth saying what will happen. And when God says it will happen, it will happen. And as we look in Joshua chapter 8, we're going to begin reading today at verse 3. The theme of this chapter is war, and we saw in the first two verses prediction, and now we're going to get down to verses 3 through 8 where he's going to deal with instructions on this. And if you start in verse 3, it says, "So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city. But be ye all ready, and I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say they flee before us at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall arise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when you have taken the city, that you shall have set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you." As we look in the Word of God today, I want to preach to you today on winners. On winners. Right quickly, I want you to look at your bulletin for a second. I'll show you something. In your bulletin, it says this. This is not the Spurgeon quote, but the other Spurgeon quote. Okay? "If your church cancels their service for the Super Bowl, they should cancel the rest of them." And the reason being is, winners and losers is not about a ball game. And the reason I say that is two reasons. Number one, I can never remember growing up them saying, "All right, well, it's the basketball championships tonight. We got to call off service." I can't never remember saying the football championships tonight. We got to call off service. But I have went over to the prison yard before and get in there, and it'd be Monday night and try to preach, and there'd be three people in there because 30 of them laid out to watch the ball game or something like that. I've seen that a time or two. I've seen the college Final Four take up services before over there. So what'd you do? I preached to the one that showed up. He knew the message was for him, and he thought they should have been there to hear it too. Amen. But this is about winners in life. Not winners of sports games. Not winners of fishing tournaments. Not winners of things like that, but winners. And we got instruction for the winners of the war here in this chapter. In case you didn't know this, you, my dear friend, are in a war. If you're lost today, you're in a war where the devil's trying to keep you from getting saved. He's showing you every fault, every wrong thing that everybody around you does. He's got a mirror on you that's tainted that shows you as perfect and the rest of the world is flawed. He's trying to convince you there's nothing wrong with you. That's one war. If you're saved, there's another war. The devil's trying to steal something from you. And it's not your salvation, it is your testimony. He'd like to take that away from you. He's after your children. He'd love for you to be saved and your children go so far astray that people would question how you even raised those very children. That's what the devil's after. You are in a war, a serious war. Now let me ask you this. How would you like to finish that war? Victorious. Well, nobody goes into war thinking, "Well, we're probably going to lose this one now." Now, I didn't want you to go to war. You go to war thinking, listen, you go to war thinking we need to win this because of a certain reason. We got a purpose for this. You ever heard that thing said about a man that dies for his country and all that, how that's a great thing? That ain't how you win the war. You make the other fellow die for his. Yeah. See? But we're talking about winners, and we're talking about today instructions, literally, to those that are going to be the winners of the war. I say this, and you know this as well. We just looked at chapter 7. This same crowd they fought ran them out of town. Now they're getting instructions from God on how to take the thing back. And God's going to give them the instructions on how to beat that crowd and exactly how to do it, and they've got to listen very carefully to Him. So I want you to listen very carefully today. Put out of your mind all the thoughts of making ice cones or whatever it is you're going to do after service or whatever it is. Or that good salmon stew and chicken stew that you got in the crock pot. Center around the book of God. And let's look at this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you today, God, and thank you, Lord, for the time to come to the house of God and be here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, today, Lord, that you'll help us, that you'll look down upon us today, Lord God, and you'll help us with the Word of God, because, Lord, we don't know everything, we don't even pretend to. But we do ask for your promise in Psalm 119, verse 18, where it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And, Lord, we come today asking God for your Holy Spirit to teach us this book today, Lord, in these passages we look in. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach today, Lord, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look at the instructions to the winners of the war, first, if you look down to verse number 3, let me say this. Number one instruction, you must get going. You must get going. He says in verse 3, he says, "So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night." So you must get going. The best advice you'll ever hear about war is this one. Number one is show up early. Show up early. Always be ready to get to where you're going in this war. Show up early. Listen, the early bird may not get the worm, but the early person in the war goes up and gets the first shot. And that listen, it's like the old Chinese guy said, one grain of rice can tip the whole scale. And that one person that's going to be a winner, and they're going to show up, listen, they're going to get going by showing up early. That one being early might make the whole difference in the whole battle. Another thing, too, is you got to plan to be early. You got to plan on it. Some people don't plan. It's like at the last second they look around and say, "Well, where's my gun? Where's my bullets?" Well, if you're going to be in a war, you better know where your gun and your bullets are. If you go out and fight a war, you better not have them laid up for the last second and say, "Well, I'll go look for them last and I'll get my uniform pressed first." You better get that uniform pressed last and make sure them bullets and that gun's cleaned up and ready to fire. Because there's a lot of people in this war, in this day and age, they don't know where their offensive weapon is. They got on a helmet of salvation that's permanently attached to their head, and that's all they have. They don't have any idea about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's their only offensive weapon, and it's the only offensive weapon you need. Don't show up without it. Make sure you come with that thing. Plan on being early with it. Plan on being early and showing up early with the right weapon. Don't show up with a butter knife. Hey, these people this day and age, listen, they for whatever reason are still carrying butter knives. Don't carry a butter knife. It ain't gonna work. So I can handle this one better. I'm sure you can, but get the sword out because it'll do more damage. Listen, if you're gonna fight me with a butter knife, I'll take my chances. I'll fight you barehanded. But if you got a sharp sword that's sharp on both sides, well, I want one too then. And I don't want a butter knife to fight you with. See, the devil talk you into fighting with a butter knife. He'll come at you with a sword. You better be careful how the devil tries to talk you out of your only offensive weapon. You know, our day and age of technology, we've got Bibles everywhere. We got them in print. We got them electronically. We got them on the internet. But how many of them do we take with us? You got to get going, man. You got to take the scriptures with you. Hey, listen, the best thing you can do nowadays, and listen, everybody's going after a concealed weapon permit. Conceal that Bible with you, too. If you're going to take a pistol, take the Bible, too. In fact, don't go out without either one of them, man. Make sure you got both of them in this day and age. But take that Word of God and make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you got the Word of God with you and not a butter knife. Go out there with the sword of the Spirit. Go out there early. Plan on being early for it. And notice this. You need to fix whatever's causing you a delay. Do you know that the other day we went to go to a dentist's office? We went down I-85 where there wasn't construction. Got all the way down there. Got about exit 80, 81, somewhere in there, mile marker 81. It's like a parking lot. There we sit. So when does road rage set in? That very moment. You're all stupid. You don't know how to drive. You don't know. It's not their fault. It's one guy's fault. He didn't get going. He didn't plan on being early, so he thought he'd just speed and get there. And guess what? One wreck held up two lanes of traffic. So I missed my dentist appointment. Anyway, I missed my dentist appointment, and I get down there, and I say, we call the people. I say, can we come late? They said, absolutely not. I thought, you bunch of legalist, judgmental people. Listen, man's going to be just a little bit late. You're going to throw off on him, right? They said, but you can come next week. So next week, we decided to fool them. We didn't tell nobody, so we took 29. We're going 29, and we're about, 100 yards in front of Mary Black Hospital, and both lanes shut down in front of us in the city. We looked up there, and there was four men holding shovels. I wanted God to smite all of them, hip and thigh, right there in one spot. You know how came this way, we're going to have to put up with this, have to put up with it anyway. So my wife says, I know a shortcut, which that's usually bad, but in this case it was good. And we turned off that road, come back around, and that already cleared the road up that quick. And I looked over at them guys while they was holding up their shovels. They're on the side of the road now instead of being in the middle of the road center, you know. I just looked at them, I thought, you know, I'm glad we planned on being early today because we got jammed up last week. Because when we pulled in the parking lot, we still had 30 minutes. Plan on being early. Take away all the delays. If you know there's going to be a problem, fix the problem before you get started. When people have a car that overheats, and you know your car is going to overheat, fix the car. Your boss don't want to hear how your car broke down. He paid you last week, so it'd be fixed last week. Is that right? Listen, if you got bad tires, when your car go get good tires. So, well, I don't have money. Ask God to send it to you. You must get going. To fix everything that causes a delay in that thing. If they would have been delayed here, they'd have been beat twice by an army that's one-tenth their size. And all of them had the same weapons. But you'll notice down in verse number 4, the instruction to the winners of the war go like this. You must get going and you must be ready. He says in verse 4, and he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but, underline this, be ye all ready. He says, and I and the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them. See, this time it's the men of Ai who are proud, arrogant, overconfident. And they figured they'd rout Israel this time like they did last time. But see, they didn't figure out that their previous victory was God punishing his children for pride, arrogancy, and overconfidence. So now Joshua, who was down in the mouth last chapter, has got to go out there and act like he's down in the mouth again this time, but it's got to be an act this time so he can draw them out to chase him. And the way you do something like this when you must be ready, listen, you got to lay out what you need to be ready with. They couldn't have went out there in unscouted territory and said, I think I'll go this way and then go this way. No, you better make them paths are clear. Are you going to be like that holderness guy up there in the mountains of North Carolina? You're going to say, God told you to jump out a window. You're going to never flip that window. It makes a 30-foot drop. So, no, God said that window over there. You better be ready for this stuff. You better plan ahead. You better lay out what you need. But more importantly than that, you better listen to the Lord. Where did Joshua get all these good plans from? Got them from the captain. Who's the captain? Joshua chapter 5, Jesus Christ is the captain. Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. Get all your marching orders for him. Listen to the Lord and make sure you got everything you need to follow him with. And make sure that you scout out the area first. Make sure there's no detours, no delays down there. And be ready to roll when it's time to roll. I notice also you need to seek God's protection. I know that a lot of us may take this for granted sometimes. But when you are in an automobile, you are in more danger than you was standing on the ground at home. Because you can stand on the ground at home in bad health and not run into somebody. Not usually. But you get out there in that car, you're 8 inches from death every time one passes you. I watched a guy this week. I got behind him on the way to the Bible Institute the other night. I watched him go almost completely in the left lane 3 times up around 18. So that guy was drunk. No, I saw the reflection of his cell phone. Don't be stupid. No. Listen, seek God's protection, because when people do stuff like that, they probably are not thinking, hey, I think I'll kill somebody today. That's probably the furthest thing from their mind. They're not thinking I'll be irresponsible today. It probably lapsed just that long. But hey, when the headlights of that transfer truck showed up, that dude dropped that phone down the floor, and I thought, man, he's going to reach down and pick the phone up, and then we're all going to die, sure enough. But he didn't, and he started watching the road. Hey, you ought to ask God to protect you and protect them other people. Lord, traveling grace, Lord, please give us traveling grace. Why? We need it. It takes one lapse. But can I tell you something from the bottom of my heart so people understand where my heart really is on this? I saw people wrecked before there ever was cell phones on doing the same stupid things, hunting cassette tapes, 8-tracks. Where's my 8-track at? And that big old Z7, and go down the side of the road. See a Trans Am going to a tree. What happened to it? The guy was hunting an 8-track. He was hunting a cassette. He was looking up in his visor for a CD. Listen, seek God's protection. You never know when you're going to be riding down the road and you've asked God to protect you and help you, and you're going to be looking up the road. I was on, I think it's I-40 up there in North Carolina, and this transfer truck started coming over on me. I honked my horn. He kept coming. I panicked. I got over this thing over here. And you think a car don't hold good on the road? What do you get over in the grass try to run at 65? I saw him jackknife my rearview mirror. I thought, dear God, that was close. I remember me and the wife praying for traveling grace while I left the house to go to that meeting. Are you listening to me? It wouldn't have been my fault at all, would it? Need God's protection, whether I'm doing right or not. And by the way, I want them to pray for God's protection on them. That way maybe God will keep me alert for the whole thing too. But all it takes is 1 second and boom, you're in a mess. And if you're in a war and a mess, oh my goodness. Hey, if you're going to win this war, you must be ready. See, he's given them instructions that will help them take AI. He saw them lose last time. He let it happen. But now he's given the proper instructions so they'll win the war. If you look down at verse number 7, the Bible says this. He says, then you shall arise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Third instruction to the winner is this one. You must finish the plan. Whatever the plan is, stick with it. Whatever God says, stick with it. Say it don't look like it's working, stick with it anyway. Now, as we're going to learn that Joshua has stationed just regular people like you and I up here on this part. He's going to stay the valley down here in the next section of Scripture and be by himself. And the opposing army is going to be up here on this hill. So that means when he goes out there and starts taunting them, they're going to come running down that hill at him. He's got to make it back up here with these people. They got to already be in motion. And they have to finish the plan. If they see that coming, they say, well, I don't think they can get here by the time we cook another egg or something on the thing or get some more bacon aid. I mean, we got some things. We're trying to cut the grass over here before we get this last little thing done. Or are we trying to pack up the tents and we just kind of got tired? No, they got to be ready to finish that plan and stay with that plan the whole time, because them people ain't going to stop. See, they think victory's already theirs because they've already won it one time. Joshua's running up that hill. Can you imagine telling 30,000 of his, hey, get to going, get to going, get to going. And then sit there and go, what? No, they know the plan. They know when that thing starts, run this way. And in verse 7, notice the further you get into the Christian life, the less miraculous things seem to get sometimes. And by saying that, God gave them Jericho. But they're going to have to use God's instruction and military tactics to take this next town. There's nothing in the playbook of the military that says march around a thing 7 times and walls fall. Yeah. That was the first time. Now, in the second phase of it, what they got to do? They got to go out there and station people strategically. They got 30,000 over here. They're going to get their army to come out, follow Joshua up that thing. Then people's running. And when they get all of them pulled out of there, these people are going to go back and sack that city on spot. And he's going to have 5,000 more liars in wait to take care of that. And 30,000 will surround them people and take them. That's the plan. So what's my plan? I don't know. You need to get with the captain and find out. Get with the captain of your salvation and find out your marching orders. And the reason being, because while God may deliver you by a miracle to start with to let you know He's good to you, there may be another time where God just gives you clear instruction so you'll just follow Him and believe Him for it. How does He tell us to follow us now? To follow Him? For without faith, we've got to have faith. Faith has no reasoning. Faith just says, yes, sir, Lord, I'll do it. It may or may not make sense, but Lord, I'm going to stay with the plan. You've got to finish that plan. If one of those three or four details had not followed that plan, the other team wins. Everybody's got to finish the plan. There wasn't a plan B. This is God's plan A. It's like salvation. God don't have two plans. One's Jesus and one, in case you don't get that, and He'll work something out. No, His plan A is Jesus Christ because that's His only plan. And Him being the captain of our salvation and seeing how we must finish the plan of a war, we're going to be winners of this war, we got to find out the plan because we got to stay with that plan even if it doesn't make sense. Look at verse 8. He says, "It shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do." Two elements at work right there. Watch these. Faith and works. We're going to believe what God said to do, and then we're going to do it. This isn't talking about salvation. This is talking about the Christian life. We are imputed with righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. But by our works, other people know what army we're fighting with and what one we belong to. The Bible says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead being alone. Hey, if you say you part, listen, if you say you part of the Marines, that's good. But until you go to battle with them, we don't believe it. You can tell me all you want to that you're a famous whatever, but until I see you on the TV doing it, I ain't going to believe it. I mean, that's the way I... Not that I watch TV or nothing. Watch a monitor. It's different. But I see people every day of my life claiming something they're not, and they don't have the stripes on their shoulders to prove it. When I got out of high school, several guys went in the military. And two of the biggest liars I've ever met in my life, and I will not call their names, nothing, I went in the military. They both miraculously got out early, you know. I don't know if they kicked them out for lying. I don't know if you get kicked out for that or not. They probably did. And I remember we had a little rendezvous one day up there at the store, and I was there with them two guys. "What you guys been doing?" They said, "One guy said I was in the Navy." The other guy said, "I was in the Army." And the guy in the Navy said, "But I was a Navy SEAL." He said, "I was an Army Ranger." And I thought, this is going to be good. He said, "You Army boys couldn't handle the Navy SEAL training." He said, "No, you're mistaken." He said, "Navy SEALs can't handle Army Ranger training." And they were sitting there going back and forth. And it dawned on me, neither one of them was probably in that thing. Because I don't think they just take a guy right out of high school and say, "You know, we think he'll make you a good SEAL. We're going to put you right in. We're going to make you, listen, we're going to..." No, they don't do that, do they? I mean, I never went back and researched this to find out whether or not they were. But given the 2 weeks they're in the military, I don't think they went through Navy SEAL training and Army Ranger training. I'm just guessing here now. Is that right? It takes more than 2 weeks to be a SEAL, don't it? It takes more than 2 weeks to be an Army Ranger and how to hold a knife in your cheek and come with a gun and have a grenade in this hand and a pack on your back that weighs as much as another person and all this other stuff and a machine gun on one shoulder and a sniper rifle on the other. Surely there's a little bit more to it in 2 weeks. But as I heard all them guys telling this, all I could think about was, if you have a fake plan and you're working on a fake plan, you're going to come up with a fake victory to tell about later because you are going to lose. You need to stay with the plan. I notice it says, according to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. Joshua's not worried about them following him to the letter, but he's worried about them following the Lord to the letter. I see that These two elements of faith and works were there. The faith was believing God would deliver the city to them. And they had to take God's word at the outcome of the battle. Why? Because they'd suffered the most humiliating defeat to this crowd. They were just a little small thing over there. It's kind of like when you go to your high school football game on Friday night. And you got the big 5A school, all the stands are full. You got artificial turf out there, a scoreboard that shows replays, and on and on and on. And there's a team across the field. They got five people in the stands. They're all parents, and they only got a 12-man team. So what are they there for? So we can beat them up. That's what they're there for, right? What happens when that little team over across the way wins? You mean to tell you why they won? Somebody here on this side didn't stick with the plan. The plan was, beat them guys. Follow through with it. We practiced all week. Let's go get them. Don't worry whether there's 12 or 40 on that side of the thing. Beat them. When they went down to AI the first time, we won't need but a couple thousand down there in a little bit old place down there. We won't need half our soldiers. They took 5,000 men and chased them back up the hill. Beat them. Put them out. 36 people died. Joshua had to stop and say, woe is me. God, you might as well just let us sled on the other side of the river. We're just dying. God told him to get up. He gets his heart right with God. He says, you know what? We need to finish the plan. God laid out 10 cities for us to take. This is only number 2. We got to get this one. So they go out there. And listen, when I say that you must have a plan and you must finish the plan, I want you to notice he says the last part of that verse, this is according to the commandment of the Lord, shall ye do. Then he says, see, I have commanded you. You not only stay with the plan, but you study the plan. You study the plan. Find out how this thing will actually work. Somehow, in some way, God's given them a little instruction on how to do this thing. And Joshua, for whatever reason, didn't carry cue cards around with him to learn the thing. He studied it until he knew it. Imagine, listen to this. Imagine your mailman. He pulls up your mailbox, and he don't more look at that number on your mailbox than the man in the moon. He don't know where his route is or nothing. He just says, oh, this is like a letter. There's a mailbox chunk. Well, on bill day, that's fine, but on check day, that's not good. Let's say you're a pizza delivery guy. He comes out. He's got a hot pizza that you ordered, pepperoni with extra cheese and all this other stuff. He's already there in 10 minutes or less. He's out of the oven fixing me in your hands. And he rides by a house with a light on and says, well, there's some people. I'm sure they're hungry. Well, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it? That's how stupid it is to God, but you don't follow his plan. Hey, it's kind of like when people get up and they say they're going to do something for God and they don't have a plan to do the thing with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Our goal as a church and our plan that God's got us on does not involve basketball teams and softball teams and cookouts and all this other stuff. It involves preaching the Bible, exhorting the saints, exalting the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, telling where there's hope when there is no hope, preaching on sin and complacency in this day and age that we live in, and following after souls and winning souls to Christ rather than figuring out how to steal everybody's church members around here. The average church, all they know is how to get a crowd from another crowd. Stealing fish out of somebody else's bowl. But you go take somebody that smells like fish and try to win them, guess what? They don't know nothing about that. You can have them. We don't want them in our church. Hey, would to God we'd get back to God's plan and we'd get back to being winners instead of being losers in the sight of God. Would to God we'd get back to the church that goes out and gives out the gospel of Jesus Christ when nobody around us does that. Would to God we'd take the time in our own personal lives and stick with the plan and study the plan and see that God's plan has not changed. We read some verses over in Job 33 this morning in Sunday school. God's plan has not changed. He wants sinners to get saved and He extends mercy to all. Why does God do that? Because He's God and that's what He wants to do. I don't question the author of the plan. I just try to do what the plan says. You and I are living in a day and age in which people are trying to abandon the plan. How do they abandon the plan? Well, instead of studying the plan, they're going out and they're trying to study a book about the plan. Imagine your general hands you the plan of war. So here it is. This is what you got to do with it right here. And you say, well, that's too hard for me. I'm going to go get a book that says deep studies about the plan so you can find out what's between the lines. Well, the guy that handed you the plans wasn't you, wanting you to go deeper. He wants you to do what was on the paper. Imagine this. Those of you that's ever worked construction or ever been a part of that field. When you go there, somebody already drew up the plans. Is that right? The plan's already there. So if I bring my crew in this week and we work according to plans and every measurement, every detail on them plans, if my crew gets called over here next week and your crew comes in here, y'all can do the same thing and pick up where we left off and be according to them same plans. Then when you go back to where you're supposed to be, and we come back from the emergency and come back in, we can pick up just like that seamlessly. Why? Because there's only one set of plans. We wouldn't read the book about the plans. We'd read the plans. God's not so much concerned that you take in books about the Bible. He wants you to read the books of the Bible. A lot of people, they don't read the Bible. God wants you to read the Bible. Stay with the plan. Do you know books can get in the way of the Bible sometimes? And good books is that. Every day you got a purpose in your heart to read God's book. Take in the precious Word of God. See what God says and go with what God says rather than try to depend on, well, I'm going to read Dr. Smelfungus's book on the Bible today. Well, there's a chance he might be wrong. You've been wrong. I've been wrong. What are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to stick with the plan. You ever read something, a book that's about the Bible, and go to read the thing and go to it and see that, wait a minute, that ain't right. There's something wrong about that. And you come back, the plan was right the whole time, and the book about the plan was wrong. You read enough books, you'll run into that. You listen to enough preaching, every once in a while, I'll make a mistake. Of course, it's probably in your mind. I probably didn't. Especially if it involves your sin, I was probably right. Amen and amen. But you sorry football team or interested this bunch around here? We was going to have a scoreboard up here tonight, but I can't do her like that. That'd be cruel. Because you know who would come out the winner if I was running the scoreboard up here, right? Y'all figure that part out. I'd make them both lose. I don't like either one of them. But listen, I look at this thing over and over, and I keep seeing the same thing. Stay with the plan. Finish the plan. Now, I cheated and went ahead and read the rest of this chapter, and they did exactly what he told them. So how'd it turn out? I told you this was instructions to the winners, didn't I? They won. Hey, you want to be a winner today? You want to be a winner in this thing? Listen, when you get saved, you come to Christ to be saved. You don't come believing there's a God and believing there's a Jesus. You come because of John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Has God dealt with your never-dying soul yet? Has God dealt with you about the fact you're lost? Has God put his hand on your sins? Amen. When you come to him and you ask him to save you, he bursts you into the family of God by the Holy Spirit of God, seals you into the day of redemption. At that very moment, you belong to him and you are his. You are his child. Yes. By the way, on the back side of that, you just got drafted into God's army. Some of these people nowadays, I see them have, they got to have their safe place and safe space and all this. What are they going to do if we call for a draft? Well, I can't do that. That'll take me out of my safe space. He'll take all of us out of our safe place. We'll all be at war then. But listen, you got drafted in the army, report for duty. Don't be a Clinton or a Muhammad Ali and try to go to Canada and smoke dope and act like an idiot. Listen, you want to be like somebody? Be like them guys that went over on D-Day and stormed that beach over there. What'd they do? They stuck with the plan. So how do you know, preacher? Because we don't speak German right now. That's how I know. Yeah. Say, well, what about the others? Well, we kind of beat them too. That's why we're not speaking Japanese right now. Hey, in the 90s, remember CNN wasn't fake news back then? It was okay news. And one day you turned on TV and it went over Baghdad. So what happened? We won. How do you know we're not speaking Arabic right now? Listen to me, friend. These instructions are for winners. If we read the back of this book here, and we read the very back of it, I'm giving instructions to the winners today. This is a done deal. God's got it. Be up. Listen, take the winner's instruction and come out on top. Because all those in Christ Jesus are the winners. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.